Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Rock and roll legend Brian Adams, good morning. You're very welcome to the show.
Brent, hello, how are you?
How are you, Brian? Where are you?
I'm looking after my ma.
Okay, very good. So I know you're on tour at the moment, but when you're on a break, do you go home and look after your mum, yeah?
Yep, got to do it. She's 97.
You see now, straight away, you've won everyone over with that because they're all, oh my God, I knew Brian Adams was lovely, but it turns out he's even lovelier than I thought. You're on tour as well with your So Happy It Hurts tour, and you're coming here to Ireland for 3 gigs in May. I presume the rest of the tour is just a warm-up for the 3 Irish gigs, right?
Exactly. You know, people in Ireland love music, so it's always a pleasure to be there.
Yeah, but I think there was something about you right from the beginning when we saw you. There was something relatable about you that Irish people could relate to.
It's because I look Irish.
Yeah, and you are a little bit Irish. I think your mum's family are from Wicklow, are they?
But yeah, that's right. But my both sides. My father's side came from Cork.
Whereabouts in Cork? I'm from Cork, so I have a personal interest in this one.
Got corked in Cork.
Okay, yeah, Cork City, right, city people. You see, I knew there was something superior about you. Your biggest gig ever in Ireland, of course, was Slane Castle 25 years ago. I didn't make it, but friends of mine would still say it was the best gig they were ever at. Do you remember it?
That's such a nice thing to say. I love that gig. I mean, sometimes I see things, clips of it on the YouTube. But you know what's interesting is I think back to some of them gigs and I don't remember the whole thing. I don't remember doing it. If it wasn't for the film, I would have completely forgotten it.
And you still love it every night, do you?
Yeah. The crack is mighty.
There's the corking, you know. I think one of the other reasons you connect with Irish audiences is Irish music was a big influence on you as well, wasn't it? You're a big fan of Rory Gallagher. Of course, you covered Tin Lizzy's Whiskey in the Jar.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I actually covered it, yeah. I don't need to tell you because you're there all the time, but you know that the gigs are great in Ireland. And in fact, one gig I went to see Ed Sheeran there when I had a day off. I hadn't met Ed before, and we ended up writing a song called Shine a Light.
Oh, yeah. People say when people meet Ed Sheeran, they just seem to write songs with him.
Song. Yeah. Yeah. Hi, Ed. Nice to meet you. Let's write a song.
Yeah. And does it just happen then fairly easily?
I sent him an idea. I said, I've got this chorus idea. What do you think? And he said, yeah. And next thing you know, we had a song.
Is it true as well that sometimes when you're in Ireland, do you play tennis with Bono?
It's the Canada-Irish Cup.
Okay. And who wins? Do you let Bono win or does Bono let Brian Adams win?
It's pretty even Stevens.
Is it?
Yeah.
And come here, in terms of dress code, I can see you in tennis whites. I'd say you look good. Bono, is he in all black with shades on or does he do tennis whites as well?
Black with shades.
Yeah, okay. So you're there with your mum now and...
I want to know how you know that.
Because it's Ireland, it's a small place, everybody knows everyone. To be honest, the reason I know it is because Bono is always boasting, going around saying, you know, I can beat Brian Adams at tennis. He says he wins every time.
Yeah. Well, I'll let him have it.
You're not going to argue with him on Irish radio anyway. I think the understanding is that in Canada, you can say, look, I beat Bono at tennis all the time. And, you know, it's a territorial thing. It's fine. It's interesting that you're there looking after your mum, because I think your mum raised you primarily on her own, didn't she? Your parents split up when you were quite young.
Yeah, that's later years. Yeah, teenage years. I left school when I was 15. So she was actually just looking after my brother after that. And I went on tour. I was actually working as a musician from age 15.
Really? And doing your own stuff, or were you playing in kind of, you know, covers bands?
In the beginning, it was cover bands, and I was, you know, only 15. So we were playing in some of the bars, and I would have to be escorted from the dressing room to the stage and back because I was too young. I wasn't allowed to be in there.
And then when did Brian Adams, as we would know him, start to emerge from that?
Second gig.
Really? Yeah. You were a star straight off.
First gig, I was absolutely crapping it. And then after that, it's like, oh.
And then when did you kind of start writing music and all that?
Oh, I started back in those days. In fact, The best advice I ever got given was from the guitar player in one of those bands. And I said, if we're going to get out of the bars, we should really write our own music. He looked at me and he said, "You do it." I was like, "All right, I will." And that's how I got into songwriting.
And then, so how old were you then when you started, getting a record deal and it became a kind of a viable thing for you to do?
Well, I got my solo record deal when I was 18. I signed the contract. It's actually a funny story. I signed the contract for a dollar. That's how much confidence they had in me. And so I remember saying to the president of the company, I said, "You signed me for a dollar. Where's the dollar?" So he gave me a check for $1. I've still got it. I've got it in my office.
Okay, and then and did you have success with that deal? Did you make them a lot of money then?
No way. I didn't make any money until I was about 23. There's a funny story there also, because there was an album called Cuts Like a Knife. We just sold 1 million albums of it in America, platinum album, really, really chuffed with that. And I said to my manager at the time, I said, "Where's the money?" He goes, "There isn't any." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You signed such a bad deal, you didn't make any money."
No. Okay. I hope you made a few quid since then. I presume you did. In the 80s, you were massive here in Ireland. I think you came to us through, there was this program, MTUSA, used to play American music. And I think that's where Run to You in Summer of 69 and all that kind of came from. So when you play now, is there a lot of people there who are young people reliving their youth and reliving those days? Yeah.
Possibly, yeah. People like the songs.
Yeah. And then you do a lot of photography as well. You're quite a serious photographer. That's obviously another kind of means of expression for you as well. How did you get into photography?
I was interested in it from quite an early age. Just sort of kept dabbling in it, and used to use it as a tool just to document what we were doing out there on the tours. And then just got into portraits, and so now I do it all the time. I use it. I mean, a lot of my time is spent now just doing videos. Now with all the social media business, everyone's cranking up the, "Oh, you need another video this week. Can you get us another video?" So it seems like that's where most of my time is spent.
Who are the most interesting people you photographed?
I don't know. There's quite a few. I've got a book coming out this year. It's called Shot by Adams, and it's kind of retrospective of the last sort of 10 years. I did one 10 years ago called Exposed. They're just people I meet and commissions I've had from different magazines and things. Yeah.
You famously, you photographed Amy Winehouse, and I know the pictures, and I think you two became friends after that, didn't you?
Oh yeah, we became quite good friends. Although Amy was on her own trajectory, you could only sort of be in the sort of tailwind of that one. But it was quite an immense pleasure to have known her. She was really, really special.
Yeah. And was she just starting to break through at that point? It was just starting to happen
Yeah,
for her. She was on
right.
the upward trajectory, yeah.
She was on her way up, and in the beginning, it was quite interesting because I remember there was a woman there that was doing some styling, and she had some different frocks for Amy to try. Amy said, "I'm not having any of that." And ended up taking all of it home.
Yeah, it's a sad story ultimately, Amy. But I presume you've seen a lot of in your industry, you've seen a lot of self-destructive behavior. Is it that if you take kind of people who are sensitive people and then you put them in these extreme, really exposed situations, that it's difficult for them, so they drink and take drugs?
I don't think it's exclusive to music. It just happens that because people are in this public eye, it becomes a focus. But yeah, I don't think abuse and addiction
Yeah.
is exclusive to the entertainment business.
Yeah. You
Yeah,
don't
but the
drink, do you?
go on, sir. No, I do not.
Did you ever?
Never. But I mean, I will make an exception once in a while, but it's my brother's birthday, or I'll have a drink with him, or if I'm in Ireland, maybe I'll have a beer.
So never growing up or anything, you never had a few beers when you were in the bar bands and that. Was that a deliberate
Oh,
decision?
no. No, I mean, I tried all that, but
Yeah.
it just didn't appeal to me, getting drunk. It just nothing good about it.
Yeah, you could have a point there. Listen, back to the photography briefly. There's something I wanted to ask you about. Did you collaborate with chimpanzees on an art project recently?
I did. There's a guy called Dan Matthews who runs a organization in America which helps animals that have been used in animal testing. Obviously, one of the most used animals in that world is the chimpanzee. And he rescues them from these different places that that do all the testing, whether it be NASA or the makeup companies. And he takes them and there's an island in the middle of Florida, this sanctuary, which he's created for these monkeys. And some of them are quite interesting and they like to paint. And so what he does is he gets people to do blank canvases, to paint a solid color on a canvas, and then lets the chimps paint on top of it. And he raises money to try and keep the sanctuary going. It's quite clever.
So did you get to meet the chimps?
I did not.
Okay. And what did you think of them as collaborators? Were they creative?
Much better than my work.
So you have a new single out, Make Up Your Mind, which is terrific. I think people would kind of think that it's kind of in the old school Bryan Adams style. You're working on new music all the time, are you?
Yes, sir. This is part of an album which is coming out in August. It's called Roll With The Punches. And it's the second song we put out this year. We put out the title track, Roll With The Punches. And now we're putting out this one, Make Up Your Mind. And then we get another one coming out sometime before the summer.
Okay, and there's no sign of you slowing down. I did see you recently did a week-long residency in Vegas.
Yeah, only people with blue rinse hair were allowed to come in.
Really, yeah.
No, that whole world has changed a lot since the days of Elvis. It's a reputable gig, pretty much. It's a bit odd. You sort of stay in the building where the venue is, and there's just these massive malls everywhere where everyone's shopping, and then they go in and see the gig, and then they go back out and shop and gamble. So it's everything air conditioned, one sort of thing. And then if you don't like that, you can go to the next place, which is down the strip, and then you do the same thing again. It's quite remarkable.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, I mean, you two have done it recently. If you and Bono end up doing residencies in Vegas at the same time, you can, work on your tennis game together.
Well, that's right. And that's the plan, really. The two of us sort of sitting there, lounge chairs.
I like it.
You know, just sitting there by the pool.
You with an umbrella in your Shirley Temple.
Yeah, he'll be in black, I'll be in white. And we're just trying to work out what time we want to play. And that's it.
So listen, how is the atmosphere at home in Canada now? Canadians are having a kind of a very patriotic moment right now. Are you feeling especially Canadian and proud of it right now?
It's a very interesting time. I try not to give it any air because it's politics and I'm not particularly political.
Well, listen, that's the most sensible piece of political analysis I've heard all week. So listen, Brian, people are really excited about seeing you again here in Ireland. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. So will we finish with a song? What's your favourite Bryan Adams song?
Oh, Roll With The Punches.
So the tour comes to Dublin's 3 Arena on May 20th and 23rd and Belfast's SSE Arena on May 21st. Bryan Adams, you're a gentleman. Thank you so much. And this is Bryan Adams' favourite Bryan Adams song ever, Roll With The Punches.